Well, we're continuing our series from the Upper Room Discourse in the middle portion of the Gospel of John. Chapter 13, we talked about the towel. Jesus is sharing priorities as they're approaching the cross that will get them through the confusion they will face to the other side, to the resurrection. And understanding that if you're going to make it, we have to learn how to have a servant's heart. We have to learn to serve one another. And then chapter 14, he deals with peace. The supernatural gift that he gives of peace. When we come to chapter 15, he then begins to talk to us from serving to peace to being connected to the vine. He is the vine, we are the branches. And attention now turns directly to Jesus himself. John chapter 15 is one of my favorite chapters. And how many have heard me say that my favorite chapters are the ones I'm preaching on at the moment? I love chapter 15. In fact, one of the first sermons ever preached after my first position as a youth pastor was from John chapter 15. And I just want to tell you a little bit of a story. I was working at a golf course at night, watering the greens. Now, I wanted the day job. And in order to get that, I had to work the night shift and the day shift till they hired someone for the night shift. So it was a little bit of a difficult time for me, but 8 o'clock, I would go onto the golf course at night, and there was a sprinkler system, an underground water system, and sprinkler heads with a splashing arm. How many know what I'm talking about? Only they were about this tall and about this long, made of brass, and my job was to put 3 on each green on the front 9, wait for 3 hours, gather them all up in a pickup truck, go to the back 9 and put them all out there on the back 9. And after 3 hours, gather them up and put them away in the shop, go home at about 3 o'clock and then be back to work at 7. It was a brutal time, but, and I was being paid a phenomenal amount. I was making 2 1/4 an hour. You know what I thought this morning? I would love to have the pay that I have now with the bills I had then. So I'm doing all that, and I learned something. I felt like God helped me understand something that I want to use to color the story of the vine and the branches. I've never been a husbandman in the sense of taking care of a vineyard, but I learned something. The sprinkler head has no ability to nourish the green when it's disconnected from the water system. None. In fact, it can do more damage than good if it's not connected to the underground water system. And you'd screw those things in, make sure they're shooting around the green and the apron is getting watered. And then I'd come back after 3 hours and I'd find a sprinkler that had worked so hard, it was completely disconnected from the water supply and doing nothing. Stay with me. Then there were others that had worked so hard, but were still connected, but instead of a spray, it was launching a stream and going in a circle. You know what that'll do? That'll cut a trench in a green that is I don't know how much they are today. It was tens of thousands of dollars then to build a green. And so when it cut that circle, I got help to understand that was not acceptable. And then there were others that were no longer turning, just spraying onto the green and drilling a hole in the ground. So if you're a sprinkler head and you disconnect from the source, you'll do more damage than you will do good. Because the benefit isn't in the sprinkler head. The benefit is in the underground water system that is to be tied into. Is that making sense to anyone? And in John chapter 15, the point is very, very clear. He is the vine, we are the branches. And the thing that we have to consider is, are we connected to the vine? Because that's what really matters. He's headed to the cross and he's dealing with them with their relationship to the branches, and the relationship of the branches to the vine is primary. So let's walk through this chapter. There's so much here. And by the way, if you haven't picked up your devotional this week from John chapter 15, Pastor Dave has written that. It's going to be really, really helpful for you to ponder that this week, thinking about the vine and the branches. What we understand in that first section is that the vine is preeminent. The vine is preeminent. Jesus is the true vine. Now, he's told us that in chapter 14. I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. But without him in chapter 15, we can't do anything. We can't do a single thing if we're disconnected from the vine. Nothing, hear me, church, please. Nothing matters in your faith expression if you're disconnected from the vine. It doesn't matter if you go to church. It doesn't matter if you tithe. It doesn't matter if you read your Bible. It doesn't matter what you do. If in your busyness, you've become disconnected from the vine, because without him, we can do nothing. It is all about the vine. And our service needs to come out of that relationship. And I do believe if you're reading the word and praying and tithing and doing all those disciplines that God will speak to you, but I'm telling you, it's not the disciplines that are your salvation, it's the life from the vine. And I wonder over time how many of us have come to church and gone to church and experienced God, and then got so busy with life that we've forgotten that our source is the vine. The Bible says that the Father is the vine dresser. He is actively engaged, not passively watching. He's purging and pruning the branches that are in the vine. There's only two things the Father does in chapter 15. If you are not connected to the vine, now remember, this isn't a weed that's being cut down. It's a branch that was in the vine that's not producing fruit. He cuts it off and those branches are burned. Or if you are bearing fruit, then he trims you so that you can bear more fruit. In this section, it's the role of the Father to either cut you off or prune you, because the goal is producing fruit. And I thought about that a while. That's a pretty serious line to draw, because I kind of think that sometimes I just need some cuddling. Oh, you poor. I mean, can you imagine? I'm going to take you back to the golf course. Can you imagine? It's 11 at night or 1 in the morning, and I find a sprinkler head that's not working. And I walk up to it and I say, "Oh, you dear, beautiful little sprinkler head. I'm so sorry you've had to work so hard. And I don't know what's gotten in the way, but I just want you to know I'm here to encourage you." And the superintendent would walk out and I'm trying to, you know what he would say to me? He'd say, "You're fired," is what he would say. But what does a sprinkler head need? It doesn't need encouragement. Now, stay with me all the way to the end, or you're going to misunderstand this. It doesn't need encouragement. It needs somebody to grab it and screw it back into the pipe that it's supposed to be connected to. And the Father is saying, watching you, if you won't stay connected to the vine, you're going to be cut off. And if you do stay connected to the vine, then I'm going to purge you and get stuff out of the way, because the Father is glorified when we bear fruit. Now, that's a pretty serious challenge. Lack of fruit is lack of connection to the vine. When you abide, you'll produce fruit, and you don't produce fruit by trying harder. You saw on the screen, because I grew up thinking that fruit, I don't know where I got this idea, that fruit was leading people to Jesus. And you would hear that being described as fruit. And if you weren't witnessing leading people to Jesus, you weren't going to make it to heaven. And then I began to understand that that's a secondary byproduct of the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Against such there is no law. That is the fruit of the Spirit. So, what do you do if you're not experiencing enough joy? You get in front of you get in front of a mirror and you look at it and you say, smile bigger. Be happy. Try harder to be joyful. How many know that you can't work hard enough to be joyful? You can't work harder on loving. I have a friend I play racquetball with, and he has a shirt, that T-shirt that he wears, and I'm not sure where it comes. I need to ask him the whole story, but it says, work hard, love people. And I thought, those really do go together. Loving people is hard work. But the mistake we make is trying to work harder. You don't need to work harder. You need to get more of the life of the vine in you. Because joy will happen apart from circumstances. Peace can happen in the midst of the storm. Love can happen with ugly, mean people. It all can happen if the life of the vine is in you. You can't work harder at it. You have to hold on tighter and let the life flow through you, because the life of the vine is revealed by the fruit that it produces. When I was growing up, we were living on an acreage. We had pear trees and apple trees and plum trees. And when a tree that is a fruit tree isn't producing fruit, the problem is in the life source of the tree. Because a healthy apple tree will grow apples. Come on, help me, somebody. A healthy pear tree will grow pears. A healthy plum tree will grow plums. And so if you're grumpy, if you're impatient, if you're angry, if you're a pain to be around, that's not a personality problem, that's a vine issue. Come on now, if we're gonna make it, you've gotta make sure that the life of the vine is in you. So do we need encouragement? Yes, and Scripture is full of encouragement, an encouragement that comes in many, many ways. But in this chapter, it's not about let me encourage you. It's Jesus saying, let me help you understand how serious this is. And then if you're producing fruit, you will be full of joy. You'll be full of joy because the vine is preeminent. The branches then are the priority. Verses 12 to 17, here's where the encouragement comes. Oh, let's just give the benediction. What's the fruit he talks about in this section? Loving one another. Loving one another. You cannot separate the life of the vine from the response of the branches. If the life of the vine is in the branch, if the life of God is in you, you will love people. Now, I know some of you are looking at me like, what? Some of us are wired that we just love people, and there are others of us that loving people can be a challenge. Oh, yeah, there are some days I just have to shut the door. You know, I mean, life is that. So I'm not telling you it's easy. I'm just saying to you that there's an undeniable reality that is in the Word of God that I've discovered in my personal life. And when the life of God is flowing in me, do you know what comes out of that? I love my wife more. Come on. I love my kids more. I love my church family more. I love people more. So what I'm driving you, someone needs to grab a hold of this. If you don't like anybody, you're a dead branch. If you can't get along with anybody, you're a dead branch. If Bob has a problem with Steve, and Bob has a problem with Joe, and Bob has a problem with Brad, and Bob has a problem with Mark, Bob has the problem. He needs to get connected to the branch. To the vine. How many are hearing me this morning? So he deals with the responsibility of the branches. They are the priority. And Jesus says there, and this is really an interesting concept. He says, I have called you servants. And so the analogy shifts a bit. I have called you servants, but now I call you friends, for a servant doesn't know what his master does. God wants more than your service. As important as that is in chapter 13, he wants more than your service. He wants the intimacy of relationship with you. I have discovered there are different kinds of friendships, and you've heard me talk about this. There are professional friendships and personal friendships, and you can't expect to get out of a professional friendship what you want from a personal friendship. And there are people that would say they're my friend, but I never hear from them. I never reach out to them. There's no intimacy. We'll work together on, there's no intimacy of heart or life. We'll work together on projects and that'll be fine. And then we go our way and we're done. So I met a couple, my wife and I met a couple at a national event. And we were doing lunch together and just made a connection. You ever had those where someone you've not met before and there just seems to be a natural connection? So we went to lunch, and then the next year came around, we met them again and went to lunch, and they're sharing about their daughter, the struggles she's going through, and we're talking about pressures on our family and crying and sharing together. And I said, hey, I want to reach out to you before we're back in a year and just see how you're doing. And he looked at me and he said, I don't do long distance friendships. Don't expect me to interact with you when I'm home. And I thought, I don't know what you are, but you're not my friend. Are you hearing me? You're not my friend. I met a man in town here at Walmart. We hadn't seen each other for a while. And I said, hey, let's get together and do lunch. We both had our phones. We could have scheduled it right there. He looked at me and he said, that's fine, but you need to look at your calendar and let me know when you're ready to do lunch. And when you're ready, I'll let you know if I can make it. You know what I thought? You're not my friend. Jesus is saying, I don't want you to just serve me. I want you to be my friend. God spoke to Abraham, called him the friend of God. God spoke to Moses as a man speaks to his friend. That's what God is calling you to. What is that about? It's the life of the vine in the branch. And he's calling us to a close, intimate relationship. He's not a grandpa you send a card to at Christmas. He wants to walk with you and talk with you and share life with you. I was reading about some of the hymns that we used to sing, and this one really startled me. I was surprised to discover that great old hymn of the church, Andy walks with me and talks with me and tells me that the church initially rejected that because it was too emotional. It was too emotional. Oh, church, hear me. He needs access to your intellect and your will, but he needs access to your heart. And he walks with me and he talks with me. The attention comes on the branches. Is there evidence of the life of the vine in you? Chosen and appointed by the vine to be his friend and to love others. So I'll move on here because it looks like your basket's about full. But I can tell how much you love Jesus by how kind you are to people. Help me, somebody. I'm up here all by myself. Third, a hostile environment is the problem. Nothing in our environment is crafted to help our relationship with the Lord and with others grow. We're living in a world of hate. It was true in Jesus' day, and it's true in our day. We're living in a world of hate, and this isn't going to change. They hated Jesus. They will hate you. Don't be surprised that the world hates the branches. The environment around us is hostile. One of the miracles of what God has done in Israel, if you want to do a study, is look at what it looked like before 1948, as it was a desert and a hostile land. And when Israel came back, it began to bloom like a rose. God can make beautiful things happen in a hostile environment because it only shows His power and grace. You can still love when people are hateful. You can still love when the world's hostile. Growing up in Iowa, I loved to watch the crops. I loved to watch the beans go in and the corn go in and see them, you know, begin to pop through the ground a little bit and watch them grow. And knee-high by the 4th of July was not true about 30 years ago. Now it's head-high by the 1st of June almost. I mean, how many know what? And then you look at how close they're planted together. You can't even spit between some of those stalks of corn. They're so close, and they're doing all this to make it happen. But you know what they're dependent on? What happens in July when it stops raining and it gets hot? Have you watched those corn plants when the leaves, instead of out and open, get tight to a point and they're reaching up to try to draw some more moisture out of the air? And people joke about it, but if you've been in Iowa long enough, you know that at certain times of the year, you can almost hear the corn grow as it responds to the environment. That is a real thing. People think I'm nuts when I talk about it, but it's a real thing. And then if there's not rain, that will dwarf the harvest and the fruit will not produce. And then if it does produce, and now the stalks are turning brown, and it's not brown just down to the root, the whole stalk is brown to the ground, and it starts to rain and starts to blow. Have you seen a field where the corn stalks are laying down and curled back up, and it's almost impossible to get the harvest? Because it doesn't matter how skilled you are. It doesn't matter what all of your fertilizers and herbicides are. It doesn't matter how big your combine is or how many acres you're going to harvest. If the weather doesn't cooperate, you're in trouble. We're living in a hostile environment. It's July, and there hasn't been rain for a month. That's where we're living. How many are hearing me? But here's a verse that Jesus gave to his disciples where he said two things about faith. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and it will obey you. And then he goes on to say, and I thought it was just redundant, but it's different. He said, you can say to the mulberry tree, be cast and be planted in the sea. Not cast into the sea. He's saying by faith, you can plant a fruit-bearing tree in the ocean, and it will grow and produce fruit. We are not dependent on the environment. We can't respond to the environment. We can't let that hatred get a hold of us. We have to stay tied to the vine because our life source in a hostile environment is being connected to the vine. And the vine has an unlimited water supply. An unlimited water supply. The environment around us is hostile, but he hasn't left us alone. He says in verses 26 and 27, there is a divine helper that's promised. The helper will come. But hear me. He's not coming to say, "You're so cute. I just want to help you." He's here to make the life of the vine real in you. He's here to show you how to connect relationally. He's the one that makes the life of Jesus real inside of us. And when you think about it, what he has told us in John chapter 15, are you ready for this? This is shouting ground right here, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all fully and actively engaged in making sure the vine is flowing into the branch, and the branch has everything it needs to produce fruit. And when you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit on your side, you will be a flourishing branch that will honor the Father, because the entire Godhead is engaged in your successful growth. He'll bear witness to the truth. While the world is redefining the truth, and it's pretty amazing to me how much the world is redefining the truth. Can I just throw this in here? This is what happens when you just look at me like you're ready to go to lunch. But have you noticed a change? When I was growing up, science was used to refute religion. Do you know what's happened? It has switched. Science is being used now, is being fought against by a woke agenda. The very ones who use science to fight us are now fighting science because it proves us right. We are not in a modern world, we're in a postmodern world right now that's rejecting, because science, there is no room for discussion about genders if you rely on science. It's either XX or XY. It's not ABCDE. That's all there is. And the agendas are being changed. Truth is being changed. How do I know what to do? How do I know how to respond? Because I have a helper. Woo! I have a helper. And he will reveal truth to me, and he'll keep me on a right track, and he'll keep me going the right direction. I'm telling you, you can be successful in your faith walk because Jesus is the vine. The Father is the vine dresser. And alongside you is a helper called the Holy Spirit that will enable you to produce fruit. Branches will bear witness to the vine. You don't need more effort. You need a stronger connection. I'm not the most scientifically or technically driven person in the world. But have you ever watched a light bulb that starts to flicker? And then you discover that the bulb isn't the problem? It says somehow it got loose in the socket, which is a whole another. I've met some people loose in the socket, but that's another. That's a whole different thing. And you can stand there and yell at that light bulb, "Try harder! Quit flickering! Give it your best! You can do it! I believe in you." What does it need? It needs you to grab hold of it and screw it back in. We don't need to try harder. We need a deeper connection. So I want to do something a little different this morning. I don't know if this will work, but I felt like God laid something on my heart. Just in this whole idea of letting the Spirit of the Lord have his way. And I won't go into all the history of how we moved from our worship service to a celebration service, all that's in that. But you know, one of the things I grew up with, every Sunday, people knelt at the altar. And we don't do that anymore. We stand and worship, and I'm for that. But I'm just telling you, I was praying yesterday and I thought, I think we've lost something. Oh, I know. I grew up in that. I'd look at my watch and think, how many minutes do I have to stay here to still be acceptable? And people not question my faith. But there were other times, Pastor Tim, you've humbled yourself. You're kneeling before him. And he would speak with clarity because we took time to wait on him. So I'm going to ask you to not get in a hurry. You'll still get out of here on time. I'm going to give time for this. I will tell you that if I kneel, I need to do it by a chair. So I'm not asking everyone to kneel. But I thought, what might God do if all around here, this space was filled with people kneeling at their chairs, taking just a few minutes to make sure that we're connected to the life source? And rather than, yes, praise God, we took time to contemplate, to wait. That's at the heart of the Pentecostal faith and history, is waiting on him. And I'm not gonna ask you to do that all day. I'm just gonna ask for a moment for you to do whatever you'd like. So let's stand together. Pastor Nathan's just gonna lead us. We're gonna worship, and you can sing or not sing. But if some of you would you just come around the front and kneel, or kneel at your chair, or just sit down and put your head down in quiet reverence before him for a few minutes? Would you join me in doing that? I hope some will come and kneel, and let's just create a holy, sacred moment. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do. If you want to walk the back, if you want to kneel at your chair, if you want to sit and shut yourself in with God. But can we just check the life of the vine in us for just a little while?
Of your love, and let my life
I'm not going to belabor this or drag it out, but I feel like God's spoken something to somebody's heart that he wants you to share with the body this morning. If he's shared something with you, he wants you to share with us. I'm not going to wait long, but if that's you and where you are, that's what we call a prophetic word, something he's spoken to you. I'll take just a minute. I felt impressed that he had put something on someone's heart to share with us. You don't have to be afraid. You just have to respond. Why don't you come up here, Diane? So you can be heard.
I just felt like Jesus was telling me that if I put him first in my daily life, that things will go better during my day, and I'll love people more. And I don't know if that was just for me or if that was for everyone.
No, I think it's for all of us. Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else? Just affirm what God's doing in this moment. Spoke something to you that he wants you to share with us. Just think there's something healthy about waiting. Let's all stand together. And let's take a minute just to praise him now. Let's just praise him together.
Let my life be a story that tells of your love. And let my life be a song that you're worthy of. Let the purpose of the pain.
Jesus, thank you for your manifest presence in this room. Pray that your Holy Spirit will prompt us and show us our need and enable us to stay tightly connected to the life that you provide for us. And we will thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone in agreement said, what I'm going to ask you to do is let's leave this kind of a sacred space. And as you go out, do your visiting in the lobby or the hallway. But I'd like for us just to leave quietly. I believe that God was in the house this morning in a uniquely different way. And I don't want to grieve what he's doing. So if you just quietly move into the lobby or in the hallway before you'd visit, and let's leave this a sacred space. Amen. God bless you.